Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome and good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving, Christian nationalist patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty out of Spokane on 96.5 FM and AM 630 on the dial and, of course, the live stream. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Thrash Economy Thursday.
Thrash 'em.
We still haven't come up with a sound effect for Thrash Economy Thursday.
I like thrash 'em.
Okay.
Especially these people that pushed these death and maiming shots. You know, we're still seeing, as we suspected, as we were told, the evidence would still continue to come forward. That's the ultimate communist right there. The people that push that.
Yep.
Not even FDA approved experimental clot shot. Look at this from the New Zealand Herald. The New Zealand records the biggest increase in registered deaths in 100 years.
Yep.
Of course, you know, they won't say what it's attributed to. They're just, it's a big mystery. It's just mysterious.
Well, and that's amazing, really, that they're able to just wash all of that, well, sweep it all under the rug. And truly, the only people that seem to have those figures are insurance companies. And they were the ones that came forward and said, you know, this is unacceptable. These percentages are off the charts. You know, it blew up all of their computerized data that they base their insurance premiums on.
Yes.
You know, and it just totally blew them all out of the water. So if anybody really knows the actual numbers, it's those guys.
Yeah. Well, the lie, they keep trying to cover it up. You know, all you can do is warn from the rooftops and say, warning, warning, danger. These are what virologists are saying. This is the, you know, and of course, cancers and everything else just skyrocketing.
Right.
And, you know, they play the shell game with the statistics to try to hide it. But,
well, you know, that is so true. But, you know, you brought up something, a good point. If you're going to be, you know, a watchman, if you're going to be trying to warn people of things like we have been the whole time that we've been on the air, we've been bringing truth to people and we've been right on every single thing that, you know, starting with the death and maiming shot.
Well, starting with COVID in general, just the outbreak of COVID with Ukraine, with Israel.
Yep.
What side of the issues to be on and
how not to fall for the lies.
Exactly.
Well, and speaking of watchmen, I had a fortuitous run-in yesterday as I was coming home.
Yes.
I drove past a small group of people walking down the road with one young man carrying a cross, another young lady carrying the Appeal to Heaven flag.
Awesome.
And then two other people that were accompanying them. And so what caught my attention, because it was getting dark, so it was hard to see what they were holding. And I thought, oh my gosh, is this a pro Hamas, you know, thing going on here in my own little hometown? And so I really was looking. And then when I saw the cross, I went, oh my gosh, I've got to turn around and talk to these people. That's what I want to see. I want to see the protests on the side of Christ.
Right.
You know, and so I whipped around, I came back and I started, you know, I asked these people, I said, were you guys just, you know, standing on the road? Were you guys just holding your signs up? And they said, well, actually, we've walked very nearly 6,540 miles as of today.
Wow.
And I went, what? And here they have these heavy Southern accents. I said, where are you guys from? And the man said, we're from North Carolina. And he's a pastor, and he was there with his daughter and her husband and his youngest son, and they have been walking. They had been doing missions until he he heard from the Lord to walk in America instead, and
wow.
and to let them know that America is in trouble.
Yes.
And so it says here on their website, apparently they've got a huge following of people that are
good.
Keeping track of where they are each day. And when I had run into them, they said, this county that we're in right now is the 222nd county that they have walked through. And it says on their website, which is thelongwalkusa.com. So I just want to encourage you all to go there yourselves. And if you can donate to their cause, it's well worth it, because they view themselves as watchmen on the wall. And I said, well, God bless you guys, because you are truly walking your faith.
Yes. I mean,
you're literally walking your faith.
Their faith.
And so on their website, it says, on March 1st, 2021, we put feet in the Atlantic Ocean off Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, and began walking across the United States in the spirit of watchmen upon the wall, according to Ezekiel 3:17. America is in big trouble with the Lord. We must warn them, both Jew and Gentile, and we must cry out to God to bring revival to America's churches and spiritual awakening to her streets. Pacific Ocean or bust, please take a moment and consider the blunt truth that we proclaim as we take up our cross and put one foot in front of another.
Wow.
And so, oh my gosh, that's just so amazing, so inspiring. And the people that I met were Bethany Boyd, Jesse Boyd, Eric Trent, and their father. And so you can go to their website and go along and track their journey as they're heading out with carrying their cross. And on their cross, it says, repent or perish. And on the horizontal part, it says, are you ready? And so
that is just cool. You know, I remember these guys now that if you remember, almost exactly a year ago, on November 12th, 2022, they were assaulted in
yes.
Montana.
Yep, that's
they
right.
were arrested.
Yep.
For just violent hate crime.
Yeah, for walking with a cross.
Right. Right. And in Montana, you wouldn't think, man, that's an American redoubt state. Well, just like in Idaho, there's this group, like just like in, you know, Restore Idaho or Regain Idaho, whatever they're called. It's a bunch of leftists, hardcore communists. They are playing from the playbook of the human rights Gestapo out of Montana.
Right.
Who they have it down. Boy, they are just the most vile people. Anti-Christ spirit just covering them. So that's what happened last year. And I remember this. I think we even mentioned it on the show.
Yep, we did.
On one of the shows.
Yep.
And then you ran into them yesterday.
Just ran into them. And,
that's so
and,
cool.
And got their pictures and said, oh my gosh, I've got to tell everybody on the air about you guys. And so that you all can go along with them on their journey and follow them and see where they're going next and how they actually get to the Pacific Ocean. That's just amazing.
Yeah, that's cool. Once again, that website is thelongwalkusa.com.
Yep, that's right.
Very cool. All right, well, I'll tell you what, there are Christian patriots who love this land. Yep. They love the Lord, and they're going to great lengths to put that message out there. And so we appreciate...
Well, you're not kidding.
We appreciate the people that with that kind of courage and dedication in such a unique way for them. But, well, let's get to the word of the day.
Let's do it. Okay. The word of the day for Thrashakami Thursday comes to us from Mark chapter 9, verses 1 through 10, which reads under the title, Jesus Transfigured on the Mount. And he said to them, assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one of the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. And
which,
that's it.
Which is interesting because they were fully aware of prophecy.
Right.
And they're reminded of it.
Right.
You know, and he spoke of it. But, you know, was this... Do you recall if this was during the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's why he said we should build a tabernacle here for them? If for some reason, I'll have to go back and look.
I would have to really look at that, because what it says here in the notes, the Bible notes say to describe what he means by present with power. He meant the transfiguration, a visible experience of kingdom power, observed 6 days later by three disciples, was a foretaste of both the resurrection and second coming of Jesus. And so, what a fascinating thing.
Yeah.
You know, that he even allowed them to be there for that. And could you imagine? You're standing there and all of a sudden, the person you're with, their clothes becomes shining, exceedingly white, like snow. And, you know, then all of a sudden, here comes Elijah and Moses.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a fascinating aspect of it, too.
Right.
Because, well, Elijah didn't die. He was taken up.
That's right.
Right. And Moses did die. And what's interesting, so he appears after he's dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, was he resurrected? Was, you know, what happened there? Because
right,
that's
nobody knows where the body of Moses is.
Or was, because there was an argument between Satan and Michael, the archangel, over Moses' body.
That's right.
So did God take it and, you know, kind of pre-advanced rapture, you know,
right.
He got the glorified body. I'm really fascinated to learn about that, you know, one day when we're in eternity, just to know. I think it's pretty cool.
Well, and you know, a lot of people kind of give Peter a hard time for what he says, you know, let me make us three tabernacles. But I mean, it says that they said it because they were greatly afraid. They, you know, yeah. I mean, you could imagine standing there in front of that and seeing Elijah and Moses show up. And Jesus is suddenly like glowing phenomenally white,
right?
And so, of course, you probably are going to figure out how you can best be accommodating to such a phenomenon, right?
Yeah.
I thought that what Peter offered to do was really nice, actually. And so
I think it was honoring.
It was.
He didn't. Yeah,
it was.
It is kind of. I don't understand how he kind of gets the beat down in some of these sermons.
I don't either. You know, I don't either, because I thought it was a nice thing for him to offer to do. I mean, that's such an unusual circumstance. How would you know what might be appropriate and what might not be? You know, well, I mean, how often does that happen to anybody?
And to Jews, they've heard about Elijah and Moses since their childhood. These guys are like superstars.
No
and
kidding.
Now they are, you know, that are long gone
before
them. And now they are standing in front of them and... you have to just be, you know, awestruck by the whole thing. I mean,
the fact that he offered to do something at all instead of just standing there with his jaw hanging open,
right?
You know, what like the other two probably were.
Yeah.
You know, quick, let me make you something to eat. I mean, what do you do?
Yes, yes.
So that's a great little passage there.
I thought how it starts off too. Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God present with power.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've heard different sermons like, well, because the kingdom of God came with power on the Pentecost, you know, when the Holy Spirit showed up.
Right.
But I don't think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about these guys who who actually got to see this transfiguration.
Oh, yeah. Right,
they
exactly.
They got to see this, like 6 days later, this happens after he tells them this.
Right, and that's why the Bible notes pretty much describe that. Present with power means the transfiguration, the visible experience of kingdom power observed and, 6 days later.
And you're standing there in front of Jesus, in front of Elijah and Moses. You could say you saw the kingdom of God with power.
Right. And what's also interesting here is that as soon as God speaks and says, "This is my beloved son, hear him," then they suddenly looked around and saw no one anymore, only Jesus with himself. And so it makes you wonder if God didn't say that, and then they whatever happened after that was erased from their memories or something.
Right.
You know, because then all of a sudden, what happened? They're just, everything's gone, everything disappeared.
Poof.
And yeah, poof. Or did they sit there and talk with each other for a little while, and then God went, okay, click, you can have your memory back.
Right, because it's like the whole event lasted 30 seconds
right.
when you read it.
Right.
But, you know, what was it, a couple of hours?
Right.
What was discussed? You know, those are the kind of things, well, maybe they were told not to even write that down, you know.
Well, and there had to be a reason for Elijah and Moses and God to all show up at that
right.
moment.
I mean, was
they, what was they had to have? What were they talking about?
We're missing a lot of information about this event, but that's all we get. But that's pretty cool, though. That's and that, another random turning
yep.
for the word of the day.
That's right.
So yeah, put that scripture out one more time.
Okay, so that was Mark chapter 9, verses 1-10.
Okay, got it. All right, yeah, fascinating story. More questions than answers for me.
That's for sure. Yep.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. Thank you guys for your support, helping to keep us on the air. We are listener supported overwhelmingly. And if you go to radiofreeredoubt.com and click on the Donate to RFR tab there, that'll open up the page where you can find if there's a way that is a good fit for you to be able to help support us. And just any amount, $5 or $10, $20 a month, anything that will help, it all adds up. And we're greatly appreciative of that. So we'll be back with segment two of the morning commute right after this. Stay right there. The Son of Man.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
10 minutes from now, a lot of you are going to have a new understanding of communism. Now, let's see if that isn't so. We start with lying. People wonder, how can a communist look you in the eye and tell one barefaced lie after another with a straight face? The way Gromyko did with President Kennedy on Cuba. Well, the explanation is simple. Lying doesn't mean the same thing to a real communist that it means to you and me. We were taught by our communist leaders and ordered to believe that truth is anything that will promote communism. Therefore, nothing is a lie if it helps the party. So the communists use the lie as a weapon, a shield, and a tool. When you keep that in mind, at last you begin to understand them. When a smiling Khrushchev says the Russians in Cuba are technicians and farm helpers, well, you can suspect there are soldiers, too. And when he says only defensive weapons were sent, well, you can suspect there are also intercontinental missiles and bombers. And when he says now they removed them all, well, what do you think? Since it is their sworn duty to tell us whatever will best serve their cause, we should always suspect they are lying. Lying is one of their best tools for playing dirty. Dirty, mean, despicable, ruthless.
Welcome back, Christian patriots, Crusaders. This is segment two of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. In segment two, brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level. And that's the podcast over at prepping2-0.com. Lady Liberty, segment two.
That's right, everyone. Welcome back to Thrash Economy Thrash Thursday. Well, you remember yesterday we were talking about the Connecticut case in, where they were having election fraud going on between two opposing Democrats.
Yes.
And the fact that the judge had anything to do with this election fraud, he called a redo. He overturned that primary and they're going to have another one. And so I went, you know, hold on a minute. Stop the truck.
Yeah.
We've got to sit on this one for a while because obviously they get what is legal and what is the right thing to do in the case of election fraud between two Democrats.
Right.
Right. And yet when it comes to the election fraud for President Trump, he gets charged with RICO.
For bringing it up.
For even saying something.
Right.
And then Carrie Lake's election gets completely swept under the rug.
Right.
And, you know, and nobody wants to see any evidence about that.
They're threatening to charge her with criminal charges for her fight in that election fraud.
That's right. They tried to do that as well. And so I wanted to dig into this a little bit more because I'm not going to let this one go. Clearly, they do believe that election fraud requires elections to be redone.
Yes.
Right? And so not only to point it out that it is election fraud, but also that it must be fixed.
Right.
It has to be redone. And so we want to just call up Donald Trump and say, okay, there is a judge that understands what to do in the case of election fraud.
Right.
We want to call up Carrie Lake and say, there's a judge that knows what to do in case of election fraud. And it's called redoing the whole election.
Right.
So I said, who is this guy? This guy is Superior Court Judge William Clark, who is the one that tossed out the primary November 1st after the multi-day court hearing on a legal challenge by Gomez, who had appeared to lose the September primary by 251 votes. And so according to the local coverage, it says that the one thing that I want to make clear is that this is not over. It's not over, Gomez told supporters shortly before his opponent claimed victory. The Associated Press will not declare a winner in the general election until all the legal issues and challenges related to the primary are fully resolved.
Hmm.
Amazing. Even the newspaper knows what to do in case of election fraud.
Well, because Trump's not involved. Their hatred from Trump trumps justice.
Right. And so it goes on to say, it isn't clear exactly what might happen next. Any appeal of the order for a new primary could potentially stall it from being held or lead it to being canceled altogether if the judge's ruling is overturned. The mayor's race in Bridgeport has captured attention beyond the state, especially among people who are already skeptical about voting security in U.S. elections. What do you think?
Pretty much everybody is skeptical.
Yeah, that would be at least 82 million of us who voted for Trump.
Right.
And so Superior Court Judge William Clark tossed out that primary November 1st. And so now we get to see what they're going to do next about it.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to track this very, very closely because this is huge.
Oh, sure
this
is.
There, it's a small drop in the pond, but the ripples this is going to cause is going to be tidal wave proportion by the time it reaches Trump.
Well, in Arizona, once again, the Gateway Pundit is running this article, Recurring Nightmare, Maricopa County's Latest Election Interference, Cameras Off, Voting Locations Close Early, Voters Who Called Maricopa Are Sent to Closed Locations in Jurisdictional Election. So
wow,
more chaos, pure chaos.
Right. Well, and so we've got a clip here from Carrie Lake because we want to know what's going on with her. And here she is with Steve Bannon. Listen to what she has to say.
This audience is interested in Carrie Lake and her campaign. So walk us through. We got 10 minutes. Walk me through everything. The fights you still got in Arizona in this campaign for the Senate.
Well, I want to go back a little ways. And a lot of people have said, wait a minute, you're running for Senate. What about the election cases? Have you given up? Absolutely not. We have three cases that are moving forward. We need people's help. You know, somebody was mad. Why are you running? You've given up. And I thought, I wanted to say some, you know, Twitter tough guy. What have you done? You know, do you care about our elections? I do, and we are continuing to move our cases forward. We need people's help. Save Arizona Fund, FUND, Save Arizona Fund is how you can help pay our attorneys so that they continue. These people are so evil that they're trying to disbar my attorneys. They are worried about our cases. Our cases are effective. They will actually help secure the 24 election. Our case. It's going into the appellate court right now. They're trying to drag things out, of course, but we're filing a brief here in the next week or so, and I think it's going to be blockbuster. But we have to continue these cases. I believe that one of them will help crack this whole thing open and change going forward.
Well, that's good that they're making headway there in that fight.
That's right.
She hasn't given up.
She's still in it. And I think she needs to go and speak with Superior Court Judge William Clark herself and say, can you talk to the judge down here?
Right.
Slap some sense into this guy, because apparently we have matching cases. And so, you know, the same needs to happen for both Lauren Culp, who ran against Governor Inslee and lost by 850 fraudulent votes, 850,000 fraudulent ballots. And so, you know, that election needs to be overturned as well.
That was another case where they threatened to disbar his attorney.
His attorney.
Who was exposing the voter fraud.
That's right.
And had a pretty locked up case. But, you know, that's quite a threat to hang over an attorney, because that's a coveted thing. You know, your bar.
That's their whole entire life.
Right.
Yep.
And that's your livelihood and everything else. So you could fight it, and then how many years of your life are you going to lose getting caught up in that quagmire? And they know that. You know, they're state-funded attorneys, so they can run you right into the ground.
That's right.
Something's got to change there. That's fundamentally wrong. Well, guys, we're out of time. You stay safe out there and be alert. And join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. right here for the Morning Commute.
That's right. You all have a thankful Thrashakami Thursday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.